Our sermon this evening is based on Psalm 100, which I will read again. It's a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word of the Lord. Mine. That's mine. After mama and dada, that's some of the first words that every human being says. That's mine. It's a short phrase, but it has the power to induce a toddler tantrum, the power to inspire a cheer on a baseball diamond, and even to cause a heart to leap or a heart to sink. That's mine. It's two words that embodies the goal of the ambitious. It justifies the defense of the protector, and it's the excuse for the deviant. And even infants know these two words, though they can't say them out loud. They show it as their vice-like grip reaches out for anything and everything they can. Human beings are very good at saying, "That's mine." And when we're little, those two words punctuate simple matters. That toy, that's mine. The food, that's mine. That wad of hair that is still connected to my mother's scalp, that's mine. You get a little bit older, and the "that's mine"s get a little bit louder, but also the stakes get a little bit higher. The position on the team, that's mine. The part in the play, that's mine. That significant other, that's mine. And while the "that's mine"s of our youth are relatively inconsequential, all they're doing is preparing us for the mountainous "that's mine"s of adulthood. The job, that's mine. The promotion, that's mine. The house, that's mine. The marriage, that's mine. This body, that's mine. Me? I am mine. Which is why a strange storm starts to brew as we approach the fourth week of November, and we get ever closer to this day called Thanksgiving. Turns out, "that's mine" and "thank you" don't play nice together. We see that even in kids, right? Imagine a special occasion for a moment, and there's presents being distributed, and one child gets something they're very excited about. They love it. What's the first thing you know they're going to do? If you answered with anything else but acknowledge the gift giver, you'd be right. It's only until there's another voice that calls out, usually the parent's voice, that reminds them to come back and say those two words. And so they shuffle their way to the gift giver and say, under breath, half-hearted, "thank you." But why? Why is it that "that's mine" and "thank you" are like oil and water, naturally repellent and difficult to mix? Might I suggest that it has everything to do with the concept of rights? That's my right. Of course that toy is mine. Of course that position on the field is mine. Of course that part in the play is mine. Of course, that job is mine. Of course, my marriage and my house and my body are mine. And though I doubt any of us here this evening would be so bold as to say, just look at me, see how great I am, of course I deserve it. Nevertheless, there's a reason why the majority of self-help in today's day and age is all about looking out for first and foremost, number one. That's me. But there's a dark side to the that's mine, isn't there? You've probably seen it before. Maybe you've even felt it. For me, when I see something that's mine under attack or at risk, my throat gets tight, my face gets flushed, and one of my ears turns beet red for some reason. And when I walk around the rest of the day, I want to find someone, anyone that I can rant and rave to, telling them, I can't believe they did this to me. Don't they know who I am? Don't they know how much I care about this thing? Don't they know that's mine? And even though this game of what belongs to whom is nothing more or less than self-centered pride, the sinful nature isn't content. The vice-like grip is still looking, is still searching. Because the human hubris isn't content with just saying, that's mine, to each other. It's determined to say, that's mine, to God. My free time? That's mine. My money? That's mine. My gifts and abilities? That's mine. My opinions and my actions? That's mine. My life? That's mine. And though I doubt any of us here this evening would be so bold as to look God in the face and tell him, after all, I deserve these things. Look how great I am. Nevertheless, how often don't we pray our prayers and finish them with the amens, with a little postscript, a little P.S. at the end. And don't you dare touch them. You better not touch my health, or I'm going to question your goodness. You better not touch my family and my friends, otherwise I'm going to stop praising you. You better not tell me that my actions or my opinions are wrong, or else I'm not going to live the way you want me to at all. You better not take what's mine, or I'm not going to be your Christian. But we know where this path leads. It leads us all year long back to this fourth week of November, back to this holiday we call Thanksgiving. And there's a voice from God's word that calls out to us, what do you say? And so often we find ourselves shuffling back to God and saying a half-hearted, thank you. All the while our sinful hearts are grumbling and complaining. Thank you to God? Why would I say thank you to God? All he ever does for me is take what's mine. That's mine. Sinful humans are so good at saying, that's mine. But how wrong we are. Maybe we'd have some right to complain. Maybe we'd have some right to lash out and rant and rave. Maybe we'd have some right to end our prayers with the postscript, the P.S. of don't you dare touch it, if these things were, in fact, mine. But just as our constant game of what belongs to whom is nothing but self-centered pride, so too is our demand of God. Don't you dare touch it. That's mine. Self-centered pride. And so maybe today, as we celebrate this holiday of Thanksgiving, Let's take a step back and risk some gratitude. Gratitude meaning that we not only recognize that the things we have are nothing but gifts, but also recognizing just how much we don't deserve them. When you find yourself celebrating Thanksgiving, wherever that might take you, either tonight or tomorrow, I encourage you, in the middle of all the festivities and the action, just take a step back and look around you and really ask yourself, am I owed this? Do I deserve this? Is this really mine? Am I owed the food on the table? Am I owed the clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet? Am I owed my family and friends or the job that allowed me to pay for all this? Am I owed this? Do I deserve this? If you go through this exercise, you'll notice very quickly that not only is gratitude a reasonable conclusion, it's the only faithful conclusion. I mean, it's no risk at all. Because though we so often pour time and energy and effort into convincing ourselves and those around us that what I have accumulated and acquired for myself is mine, it's a lie. It's just a lie. I am not mine. We are not our own. We are His. The food that you'll enjoy on Thanksgiving, the clothes that you'll wear on Thanksgiving, the people that surround you at Thanksgiving, all of them, it all belongs to Him. But it's more than that. It goes beyond that. This very world that we walk on, the galaxies that fill the universe, and even the tiniest of atoms that stand at attention doing the Lord's will so that all things might be, all things, everything belongs to Him. But then for some reason, some incredible reason, we find so many of those things in our possession, in our care. So why is it the God that not only created all things, but to whom all things belong, entrusts such important things into our hands that are so quick to look at these things and say, that's mine. It belongs to me. Giving good gifts. What else would you expect a loving father to do? This is where the that's mine's end and the thank yous begin. It's with the recognition of the love of our Heavenly Father. For just like a good father, it pleases the Lord to provide for us. It pleases the Lord to protect us. It pleases the Lord to fill our lives, not just with possessions, but with those family and friends, with those talents and those abilities, with the purpose and the meaning, all of it. It pleases God because He loves you. It pleases God because He created you. It pleases God because beyond our imagination, the Lord's love goes beyond the common concepts of love. And even before time began, He looked and saw you. You, not because you were special, not because you had something to offer Him. He saw you and said, that one. That one's mine. Watch me. And I'll not only give the world to them, I'll also give the world for them. And that's what He did. God gave the world for us. His one and only Son. A Son who, just like us, is very good at saying, that's mine. But instead of us who like to compete and argue for what belongs to whom, this Son says, no, I'm going to compete and demand that this suffering belongs to me. This sin became his. The punishment became his. The cross became his. The justice of God, the wrath of God, the hell we deserve, it became his. This is where the "that's mine" stops and the "thank yous" begin, at the foot of the cross, a cross that proclaims this forgiveness, it's yours. This salvation, it's yours. This kingdom is yours. This resurrection is yours. This eternal life is yours. So what's left to say? What place does the "that's mine" argument have when we realize that God gave us everything already? There's only one proper response to God's proclamation that one's mine. Well, it's a grateful and thankful and joyful heart that says back, "I'm yours. I'm yours." It's a far cry from where we started, isn't it? Going from "that's mine" to "I'm yours," it's a dramatic change. If you keep saying that to your Heavenly Father, "I'm yours," the dramatic will continue to build. Because just like God's promise that one's mine, "I'm yours" is an all-consuming, all-encompassing reality. It means that every facet of our life, everything we have, we recognize as his, not only belonging to him and being created by him, but as things that we entrust to him. And that might be a scary thought. It might be a scary thought that you're going to take the things that are near and dear to you, that you love, that you look at and say, "That's mine." And you put it in the hands of another. Yeah, it's a scary thought. But I want to remind you in whose hands you're putting those things. Not some strangers. Not some angry and vengeful gods. But in your Savior's hands. And in a way that only God could orchestrate, it takes hands with nail scars in them to make sure that nothing slips through. That nothing passes through the cracks, that nothing's missed, that everything is cared for. And it is. For all things are his. And so with everything in the Lord's hands, let's join with the psalmist and risk some gratitude by shouting for joy to the Lord for his goodness, by singing joyful songs with gladness, by drawing close to him in prayer with thankfulness, and by knowing that all things are his. For he is good, and his love endures forever. And even though the world might look at that and say, there's no comfort in that, we have a different perspective, a different word, a different promise. We are his. Amen.